What's up, everybody? I'm Logan Alec. I'm a CPA. Today, I want to talk about the new benefits that Chase recently announced for the Sapphire line of credit cards. That includes, obviously, the Chase Sapphire Preferred and the Chase Sapphire Reserve. I've already reviewed both of those cards separately right here on the channel. I also put out a more detailed comparison of these cards to help you decide which one is right for you. Links to all those videos are in the description below. Now, I did release all those videos before Chase rolled out these changes. So I want to make this video, the one you're watching right now, to update y'all on what has changed since those changes went into effect concerning the preferred and the reserve. So in this video, I'm going to focus on those changes and how they affect the overall value of each of these two cards. And if you're interested in the Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Chase Sapphire Reserve, please look in the description below for my affiliate links. I do get a commission when you use that link. If you use my link and you are approved, the channel will get a small commission. It's no extra cost to you, but it really helps me be able to continue to create content like this for you and make it worth my while. There are some really enticing introductory offers right now with both of these cards. The Sapphire Preferred has a 100,000 bonus point offer when you spend $4,000 or more on purchases in the first 3 months from being approved for the card. And the Chase Sapphire Reserve comes with a 60,000 point bonus when you spend $4,000 or more on purchases in the first 3 months. So that hasn't changed. These welcome offers haven't changed. The Sapphire Preferred's bonus is actually worth more than the reserves right now, even after factoring in the reserves 50% redemption bonus compared to the preferred's 25% redemption bonus. I spent a lot of time talking about and comparing these cards' welcome offers to each other right now in my Chase Sapphire Reserve versus Chase Sapphire Preferred video. That information has not changed, so I'm not getting into that in this video. Check out my comparison video if you want to learn more about the comparison between the welcome offers. Link to my comparison videos in the description below. Now, the only caveat here with these welcome offers is that you won't be eligible if you received another introductory Sapphire offer anytime in the past 48 months. So if you're in that situation, then you might want to wait until you get beyond that 48-month, that four-year mark, just to make sure you can get as much value as possible out of these cards. Now, before I get into the changes, I do want to mention that one thing that has not changed about these cards are their respective annual fees. The Chase Sapphire Preferred's annual fee is staying the same at $95 a year. The Chase Sapphire Reserve's annual fee is likewise staying the same at $550 a year. Also not changing are the redemption bonuses. If you redeem your points for travel through Chase Ultimate Rewards or through the Chase Pay Yourself Back program, as I've discussed in my other Chase Sapphire videos, the preferred redemption bonus remains at 25% and the reserves at 50%. If you don't know what I'm talking about with that, please go watch my other Chase Sapphire videos where I go in depth on how all that works. All right. Now that we've talked about what hasn't changed, let's talk about what has changed. First, I want to talk about the changes to the Sapphire Preferred. Then I'm going to talk about the changes to the Sapphire Reserve. And then at the end of the video, I will share my thoughts on how these new changes affect the value of the Preferred versus the Reserve with respect to each other. Which card came out ahead with these changes, I think, is pretty obvious. So if you're wondering about these two cards, be sure to stick around until the end. So the first major change is that Sapphire Preferred cardholders will now receive 5 points for each dollar they spend on travel booked through the Chase travel platform and Chase Ultimate Rewards. The travel rewards rate for the Preferred used to be a flat 2 points for each dollar spent. That's still going to be the case for travel booked outside of Chase, but you'll get 2.5 times that value if you remember to make those arrangements through the Chase travel platform and use your Sapphire Preferred card. The dining rewards on the Sapphire Preferred is also jumping from 2 points per dollar spent to 3 points per dollar spent. That's a 50% increase there. That rate applies to delivery and takeout, as well as obviously meals purchased in restaurants themselves. That hasn't changed. On top of that, they're applying the rate of 3 points per dollar to select streaming services, as well as online grocery purchases. As far as those grocery purchases, Target, Walmart, and wholesale clubs don't count for that 3 point bonus category. Now, up until now, the Sapphire Preferred has only offered 2 points per dollar spent on dining and travel, along with 1 point per dollar spent on everything else. So that's a pretty significant upgrade when you look at all the ways that you can now earn additional rewards with a Chase Sapphire Preferred. Outside the point system, Chase is also adding an annual hotel credit of $50 for reservations booked through Chase Ultimate Rewards with your Chase Sapphire Preferred. So your first $50 and spending in that category will automatically be covered by that annual credit. Finally, there's a brand new annual bonus that includes one extra point for every $10 you spend throughout the year, regardless of how that spending was distributed between different categories. So let's say you charge $25,000 in total in purchases to your Sapphire Preferred in your first year with the card, then you'll receive 2,500 bonus points when you get to the end of the year. And then you'll get another 10% annual points bonus at the end of your second year for purchases you made on your card during the second year, and so on and so forth, as long as Chase keeps this bonus, anniversary bonus, around. And this comes on top of everything you earned, all the rewards you earned when you originally made those purchases. Chase is also pairing these cards with a new design for the Sapphire Preferred. You can see that design on screen. This will be the default design if you're signing up for a new card. And if you already have a Sapphire Preferred, I would recommend contacting Chase directly if you want to switch to the new design. All right, that covers changes to the Chase Sapphire Preferred. Let's move on to the Reserve. The Sapphire Reserve is getting some additions of its own, so let me quickly walk you through those before I talk about what these changes mean for those of you who are trying to decide between these two competitive cards. So, similar to the Preferred changes, the Reserve's changes focus on moving people toward spending within the Chase Ultimate Rewards interface itself. First new benefit I want to mention is that you'll get 10 points for each dollar you spend on Chase dining purchases, hotel stays, and car rentals, as long as they're all booked through Chase Ultimate Rewards. So the hotel stays and the car rentals, that's pretty self-explanatory. I'll touch on how the value of this later on in the video. But let's talk a bit about this new Chase dining feature, right? Not a whole lot of people know about this yet. What is this? So this is basically the ability to book dining experiences through Chase Ultimate Rewards. And they also supposedly have unique dining experiences that you can access through Chase Dining exclusively. Obviously, if you book these purchases with your Reserve, you'll get the 10x points on Chase Dining, like I just mentioned. You can also use points to redeem for dining as well. So I had never looked into Chase Dining before. Okay, so I did that for purposes of this video. I opened up the platform. It's powered by a company called Talk that apparently Chase has partnered with for this. I basically just searched for restaurants. I searched up the city of Riverside, California, which is where my parents live. No restaurants popped up there in Chase Dining. I looked up Santa Clarita, California, which is another kind of suburb of Los Angeles. Only one restaurant. So obviously you'll probably find lots of restaurants, typically probably nicer, like hip restaurants in big cities like LA, New York, whatever. But don't think that you're going to be able to find your local diner or a chain restaurant or your go-to mom and pop Thai place where you get their pad kee mao or something. So let me just say that, right? If you're seen, as far as a restaurant goes, it's fancy and hip and all that, you may get a lot of value out of Chase Dining. But just with where I'm at right now in life with two little ones, right? If you've seen our family vlog, you know what I'm talking about. That's not our scene right now. Maybe it will be eventually, but personally, I wouldn't personally get much value out of this new benefit from the Reserve, the 10x points on Chase Dining, but I know that many foodies out there will. On the Reserve, Chase is also increasing the bonus rate to 5 points for each dollar spent on air travel booked through Chase, so you could earn an incredible number of points throughout the year if you're a frequent traveler and you don't mind using the Chase Travel Portal. Beyond that, the Reserve is also getting a new program called Reserved by Sapphire. Now, this isn't quite up and running yet, but once it starts, probably later this year, it will apparently provide exclusive access to reservations at certain luxury restaurants that can be hard to get reservations at. They list a few examples. Redbird in LA, Single Thread Farms up in Northern California, Reverence in New York City, One-Off Hospitality in Chicago, but I wouldn't be surprised if they unveil more restaurants by the end of the year or early in 2022, because obviously that list right now is a bit paltry. Okay, so those are the changes we've heard about from Chase. Those are the changes that Chase announced, and looking at these changes on their face, it's fairly obvious to me that Chase Sapphire Preferred is really getting the better end of the stick here with respect to these changes, right? So let's talk about this for a second. Let's start with the dining. Right? Because the bonus points on dining purchases is a huge reason why a lot of people tend toward the Sapphire line of travel cards, maybe more so than the Amex membership rewards program. Right now, other than for restaurant purchases made through Chase Dining, right? And remember, the vast majority of most users' restaurant purchases will probably not be made through Chase Dining, right? With these new changes, the Preferred and the Reserve, both the Preferred and the Reserve, right? For dining, other than for dining purchases made through Chase Dining, but for just all of their dining purchases, they both give 3x points now. They're same, right? So that's huge, right? And yes, if you redeem points or travel through Chase Ultimate Rewards, you'll get slightly more value from the Reserve, right? Because they have the 50% redemption bonus. So those 3x points on the Reserve would translate to 4.5% value back if you redeem them for travel through Chase. With the Preferred now, right, well, obviously that value back if you redeem for travel through Chase was previously only 2 points with a 25% redemption bonus, so 2.5%. But now the preferred with its 25% redemption bonus, now the value back on dining purchases is 3 points with a 25% dining bonus or bonus on dining purchases. So that would be 3.75% value back on dining purchases, assuming that you redeem those points for travel through Chase Ultimate Rewards or through the Chase Pay Yourself Back program. I've covered all that stuff here in my previous videos on the Sapphire. If that sounded a little complicated, you weren't quite following what I was saying there, watch my other Chase Sapphire videos where I explain the redemption bonuses in depth. Bottom line, the spread now between the value you get on dining purchases between the preferred and the reserve is now a lot smaller, even taking into account the reserve superior redemption bonus. Another leg up here at the preferred is it's now getting a $50 annual hotel credit for reservations booked through Chase Ultimate Rewards. That means if you book a hotel, right, through Chase Ultimate Rewards once a year, you'll get a $50 credit, right? So you take the annual fee of $95 less the $50 credit, that's net after credit only $45. Of course, we can do the same analysis with the reserve, right, with its $550 annual fee, which when reduced for the $300 annual travel credit is net $250. But my point here is that just with respect to these changes, the preferred got a new credit, right? This $50 hotel credit, while the reserve still retains its respectable $300 travel credit, but there was no increase, right, to its credit with these changes. What about the anniversary point bonus? Only the preferred is getting that 10% anniversary point bonus. The reserve is not getting that anniversary bonus. Again, only the preferred now has select streaming services and online grocery purchases as 3x bonus categories. The reserve does not. Those are still non-bonus categories on the reserve. They'll just get you 1x point back on spending. Really, the only thing here in terms of these changes that strongly work in favor of the reserve for many folks is that now reserve cardholders can get 10x points on hotels and car rentals booked through Chase Ultimate Rewards beyond the $300 annual travel credit. But if you're the kind of person who doesn't really stay in hotels, maybe you tend toward Airbnbs or something like that, or you don't actually pay for hotels with your credit card, you mostly just use the points you rack up and all your dining spending to pay for your hotels, this benefit doesn't really help you, right? Maybe you still pay for airfare. Well, guess what? Now for airfare booked through Chase Ultimate Rewards, you're getting the same 5x back you do on the reserve as you do with the preferred. Obviously, if you book travel outside Chase Ultimate Rewards, the preferred will still only give you 2x points on that, while the reserve will give you 3x points. So if you are someone who does book a lot of hotels and car rentals with your credit card, not with points, then having the reserve will give you 10x points on those purchases when you book through Chase Ultimate Rewards. So it could be a good fit for you if that fits your bill. But in my opinion, you have to really do a lot of that kind of spending through Chase Ultimate Rewards for this change to their respective preferred and reserve cards to really move the needle that much for you. Obviously, the reserve has other benefits the preferred does not have, right? There's a lounge access, there's, you know, more comprehensive protection coverage and many things. I've covered all those benefits and compared them in my Chase Sapphire Preferred versus Sapphire Reserve video. I will note that that comparison video was published before these changes rolled out. So to the extent that video conflicts with this one is correct. But in that video, I also compare a lot of other things between these two cards that did not change with these new changes from Chase. So I didn't mention them in this video, like travel protections, lounges, all that stuff. If you want to watch that video, it's right over here. If you want to watch my video on just how valuable the new 100,000 Chase Sapphire Preferred Welcome offer is, be sure to check out this video right down here. And of course, if you're interested in the reserve or the preferred, my links are in the description below. So I'll see you in those videos, folks. Bye-bye.